Heavenly Father, what a great joy and privilege it is to be able to sing and to comprehend as your children that you have provided salvation for mankind. That we know who our Messiah is. The Son of God came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect and sinless life, freely laid down his life on the cross for those whom God chose before the foundation of the world. What a great joy and privilege it is to worship you this morning, to gather together in obedience according to your word, to sing praises to you, and to come to this time when your word is read and preached upon. We declare that we are needy, that we need wisdom. We need strength that is only found in you. We need to be edified by the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not need to be entertained. We do not need to fight the things of this world in our own strength that will accomplish nothing. We need you. So Lord, we petition you this morning asking that through the preaching of your word that you would give us ears to hear, that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name that is above all names. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Ezra chapter 1 and stand with me in the honor of God's word being read. Ezra chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. If you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 389. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let each survivor in whatever place he sojourns be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up to build the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. And all who were about them aided them with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with costly wares, besides all that was freely offered. Cyrus the king also brought out the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and placed in the house of his gods. Cyrus, king of Persia, brought these out in charge of Midrath the treasurer and counted them out as Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this was the number of them: 30 basins of gold, 1,000 basins of silver, 29 censers, 30 bowls of gold, 410 bowls of silver, and 1,000 other vessels. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with the exiles were brought up from Babylonia to Jerusalem. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. As we begin our exposition of this wonderful book last week, the theme of the book of Ezra is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness in worship and in the keeping of God's holy word. The events of this book were a call to faithfulness among the Lord's people. And today that calling is for us. We are to remain faithful to the Lord. We serve a holy God who is all-powerful and all-knowing. We serve a gracious God who provided salvation through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. A God who demonstrated His own love for us, that Romans 5:8 says, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We serve a God who saves and seals, a God who sends His children out to proclaim the good news to others so that tongues from every tribe can be saved. We serve a good and faithful God whose steadfast love endures forever, a God who not just justifies His children, but He sanctifies and one day glorify them. And as His children, we have a heavenly Father who will never leave us or forsake us. A God whom we can enjoy every day, and a God whom we can enjoy perfectly when our race is over and God brings us home. What we see in today's verses is the outworking of the Lord in redemptive history, as Jeremy already prayed this morning. We will see the Lord working His story among His creation. And as we see the unfolding of His plan, let us cherish the truth that our God, He does not change. Today, He is unfolding His story. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change." He is still working and unfolding His plan. The Lord is still redeeming the lost through the proclamation of His Word. He is still leading His children to obedience. He is still comforting His children in difficult times. He is still using His Word to renew our minds in this depraved and fallen and wicked world. His grace is never ending. And He still graces His children with the privilege, and it is a privilege, to pray. The Lord is faithful, and He has called us to remain faithful to Him. In verse 5 of Ezra chapter 1, it reads, "Then rose up the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, and everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. And all who were about them aided them with vessels of silver and with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with costly wares, besides all that was freely offered. So the Lord stirred the hearts of many to do His will. The Lord spoke through the prophets concerning this event by more than 50 years. And now the Lord was fulfilling His promise, as He always does." He always fulfills His promises. Last week, as we began this exposition of the book, we discussed the sovereignty and providence of God. And I want to review those again this morning. The sovereignty of God, His supreme rule and legal authority over the entire universe, that He has complete rule over all things, including you and I. And the providence of God, His superintending activity over human actions and human history, bringing creation to its divinely determined goal, that He ordains what comes to pass, He sees to the universe, and He has an ongoing relationship with His creation, and He directs all things for His glory and the good of His children. It says in verse 5, "Then rose up the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred up to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem." So the heads of the fathers, this refers to the extended family, the heads of Judah, the heads of Benjamin, the heads of the priests, and the heads of the Levites. These tribes, Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites, are those who form the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom. These Jews who were stirred up by the Lord, they returned by family units. It was the community of the families that made the important decisions. These tribes were stirred by the Lord. This was not their doing, it was the Lord. But we also see obedience of His people. They gathered together, they had a discussion, I'm sure. I'm sure they prayed, they packed their belongings, probably gave some things away, traded some things, and sold other things. The Lord's stirring moved them into action. They departed Babylon for Jerusalem. Approximately a 900-mile journey that would have taken them around 4 months. Considering the ages, you have children and elderly and pregnant women, as well as the large amount of people that were traveling, approximately 100,000 souls This was no small move. Talk about obedience. There is no delayed obedience here that we see in Ezra chapter 1. Only we find immediate action of the people for the purpose of glorifying the Lord. When I think of immediate action, I think of the Son of God leaving heaven, as well as the testing of Abraham from Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis 22, verse 1, we find, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Now, if you remember this story, the Lord had promised Abram, Sarai, at the time, He said, "Go outside, count the stars, if you can. And this is going to be what I do through your family." So if you're Abraham at this point, and your only son has come into existence by God's sovereign hand, and now the Lord is calling upon you, "Abram, I want you to go and sacrifice your son." "Do what? You want me to do what?" Scripture says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place to which God had told him." Abraham's obedience, his faith, it still astounds me to this day, because I would have slept in. If God told me to do something the following day, and then it says in Scripture that He rose early in the morning, that would not have been me. That's not what you would see behind my name. I would have slept in. I would have held my son. I would have taken my time, but not Abraham. He was faithful. He rose early in the morning for the purpose of obeying the Lord. And this is what we see here in Babylon. The Lord aroused His people. He woke them up to do His will, and all whom He aroused, they obeyed. They had immediate action. In the New Testament, we find these words in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." See, God works everything for His glory, and all that we see and all that we don't see, and all of our lives, He is working His will for His good pleasure. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, we find in the beginning was God. So before time began, He was working His will, and He has never stopped doing this, and He never will. This is who the Lord is. This is His character. And understanding the Lord and worshiping the Lord this morning, it's important that we grasp this. In creation, He worked His will. Before the fall and after the fall, He worked His will. On every page of Scripture, and every event of history, in every event of your life and my life, the Lord's sovereign hand is working His will. He ordains what comes to pass, not only in the lives of the redeemed, but also in the lives of the lost, to fulfill His good pleasure. In Psalm 138, David's song of thanksgiving, we find, "I give you thanks, O Lord. With my whole heart, before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." The Lord stirred up many here. He aroused, He woke up many to do His sovereign will. You see, our God, He does what seems in our minds to be the impossible. And even when things do not make sense to us, when things do not add up, when things seem as if God is not working and doing anything, even when tragedies come, He is still working. He is near. He is bringing about His divine determined goal in history. He does what our effort and our strength cannot do. We cannot comprehend with our finite mind all that He does. He does what our limited strength cannot. Nothing is impossible with God. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In Ezra 1, verse 6, it reads, "And all who were about them aided them with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with costly wares, besides all that was freely offered." So it's not like God just allows a path for His chosen to go and to rebuild a temple. He allows a path, and He equips them every step of the way. This is why many in history, they call this the second Exodus. The Lord's people obeyed, and those that surround the Lord's people, they aided them. I mentioned this last week, but the second Exodus, the people are leaving, and they are not leaving empty-handed. Silver, gold, goods, cattle, valuables, as well as free will offerings. See, when the Lord moves for His people to do something, He provides the means for it to be done. He is providentially working every step of the way. Think about your own life in the Lord. Think of His leading in your life, His provision. This past week, I thought a lot about this church. That a little over 4 years ago, the Lord led the church here to talk with First Baptist Church Keller. This church had no idea what was going to happen. No idea. With an average of 15 to 20 on a Sunday morning, they had no clue. But the Lord led multiple families to come from First Keller to come over here. The Lord provided, and the Lord has grown this church, and He is still providing. Do you recognize the Lord's provision for you? Do you take time to give praise to God for how He provides for you day in and day out? Do you give thanks for the food that the Lord gives to you? Sure, you may work, but the Lord provided the job. The Lord provided your health. The Lord provided your strength to do it. Do you give thanks for the home that you sleep in, the roof that you have over your head? The way that you can go and do things with your family. Do you give thanks for the fact that you can be here with God's people this morning and worship Him? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." It's not us, it's the power of God. So I beg of you, whatever situation you are in life, do not lose hope. You can trust the Lord. Pray for the eyes of your heart to be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which He has called you and the inheritance that is in Christ, Ephesians 1:18. Cling to His Word and His promises. Get on your knees and cry out to Him in prayer. He is not done doing what mankind cannot explain. He is not done redeeming the lost. He is still and always will be about the worship that is due His name. His plans, they will all be accomplished, every single one of them. And His divine will is going to be done. Trust Him and obey the Lord. In verse 7 of our main text, we see that not a single soul is outside of the Lord's supreme rule over all things. Look at verse 7. "Cyrus the king also brought out the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and placed in the house of his gods. All the people around the Jews who were stirred, many Gentiles, they provided for their cause by the orders of the king, which were brought about by the Lord, but the king also sent them away with full hands. He sent them away with items that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away himself. We find 30 basins of gold, 1,000 basins of silver, 29 censers, 30 bowls of gold, 410 bowls of silver, and 1,000 other vessels. The total vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. Now, if you enjoy math, you're going to recognize that the total doesn't add up. The actual total is 2,499 vessels, while the Scripture declares 5,400. Most likely, the sum in Scripture includes many small items that were not mentioned. Because when you're talking about 30 basins of gold and 29 censers and 30 bowls of gold and 410 bowls of silver, these are not small items. The Lord provided for them in abundance as they were leaving. Now, what you don't find in this list of items carried away by Nebuchadnezzar is also worth mentioning. You don't find any idols of gold. You don't find any false gods. Israel did not have any images. They worshiped the one true living God. Sure, the temple was destroyed and they burned lots of things and carried lots of things off. But John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. These verses here in Ezra describe the detail of the vessels that were carried away, but they are also the fulfillment of prophecy from the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 27, verses 21 and 22, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord, and the house of the king of Judah, and in Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and remain there until the day when I visit them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place." The Lord is faithful, and the Lord provides for His people. He fulfills even when His people have no hope and all seems lost. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, we find these words, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Not a dot, not an iota will pass from the Old Testament until all is accomplished. God is working in all things. God has not forgotten a single promise that He has made. He was moving His people to be faithful to Him. The worship of the Lord is always a priority. Commentator Robert Fayal said it well. He said, "As the exiles return, the physical action of building the temple would be a symbol of their willingness to worship God with their whole lives." Thus, you have a large group, over 100,000 individuals traveling, what would have taken them 4 months to go. They have to get there. Once they get there, they have to live. And once they're living, they start building the wall and building the temple and offering sacrifices and doing everything the Lord has commanded them to do. This would have been a divine picture of them, of God calling His people to the worship of Him. A calling for them to be faithful. For God's children this morning, for those of us who have assurance that we do not doubt our salvation and we have examined our life and held up our life to the very Word of God, we have examined ourselves and we know that we are saved, that we have turned from our sins and trusted in Christ alone for our salvation. We not only have great assurance and we have great thankfulness, but we also need to continue to examine our life and ask ourselves, am I being faithful in everything? And as we already heard from Brian this morning, in the prayer of confession, if we truly do hold up our lives to the very Word of God, we are still falling short. We still have things to confess. But praise be to God for our justification that is in Christ. That He has justified us. That God the Father no longer sees us. He sees the imputed righteousness of Christ. Our life is to be about the worship of the Lord. It is a call to faithfulness, a call to worship Him as He has described and declared in His holy word. We don't add to the word of God. We don't take away from the word of God. We simply obey it. See, the Lord is working out His redemptive history, and He will continue to do so. And He will do so with or without us. And that should provide much humility for you. Because the Lord doesn't need me, and He does not need you. But the fact that He saves wretched sinners and calls us to Himself and brings us as a gathered body of Christ, as family together to live and to march and fulfill His plans, that is a glorious thought. He is working His will out in redemptive history. The second coming of Christ, it's going to happen. The final judgment, that will take place. And for all of eternity, heaven will rejoice and praise the Lord. And for all of eternity, the Lord will pour out His wrath on souls in hell. His will be accomplished. The question is, will you be found faithfully worshiping the Lord? I encourage you to write down areas of weakness that come to your mind. Get with someone this week and pray together over those areas of weakness. Yes, you're going to be vulnerable. Yes, you're not going to be wanting to share things because you and I are both prideful. Write them down. Pray over those things. Hold up your life to the Word of God and seek to faithfully worship Him in all things. And if you can't think of any struggles or sins in your life, then that is absolutely a positive sign that you have drifted from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, I pray, would bring conviction upon you, and you would know what your sins are, and you would beg the Lord for forgiveness. And if you're here this morning and you don't believe, I want you to know this. We've all sinned, we've all fallen short. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. But God shows His love for us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. Because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead." He's speaking of Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, a well-known sermon, it says, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By Him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And you must be saved by this name. See, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not be found faithful. I don't care what you did with your life. I don't care what you plan to do. You will not be found faithful. And you have failed to worship the one true living God, because God the Father has provided a means for individuals on this earth to be saved, to be redeemed, and it is through His Son, Jesus Christ alone. You can't add to that. You can't take away from it. It's not Jesus and something else. It's not Jesus and works. It's not Jesus and mission trips. It's Christ and Christ alone. To not believe upon Christ. When asked the question, what are you counting on for your salvation? If you say your baptism, you're wrong according to God. If you say church attendance, you're wrong. If you say, look at all the good that I've done, oh my goodness, you're wrong. It is upon His blood and His blood only. The blood of Christ is what covers you and all of your sin. Repent and believe. The Lord was drawing His people back to faithfulness because He cares about the worship of Himself. Father, I thank You for this morning. Your Word, oh my goodness, it is so good. Lord, forgive us when we don't find great joy in just the hearing of Your Word. When we don't have reverence for it. That You have breathed out words for us to cherish and to adore. Father, I continue to pray for this local body. That You would not just save the lost who enter, but You continue to call the people who have entered into a membership here to be found faithful to You. That as You called Your people and Ezra to faithfulness, that You would do that here. That we would remain faithful to obey every iota, every dot, everything that You have preserved for us as Your children. That we would not overlook anything. That we would be good Bereans. That we examine the Scriptures to see if it is so. That we would not take man's opinion and make it Your Word. But Your Word would be the foundation for our lives. That we would realize that no matter what comes against us, as we're going to find later on in Ezra, through all the difficulties and the snares and the persecution, that even today, whatever is said, whatever is done, whatever people are threatening us with, You are greater than all that. You are so good. Your power is unending. Your will is going to be accomplished. May we just be Your faithful servants, because it is enough to be a faithful servant. It is enough to be Your child. Father, forgive us when we live our lives as if it is not enough. Forgive us when all we want is more, not realizing what we have. Grow our understanding of who You are. May we have greater obedience to You because of that understanding. Forgive us where we have failed You. Give us ears that listen to one another so that we can encourage and love one another. May our mouth be slow to speak within this body. Quick, not quick to point fingers, but quick to be gracious. And we'll wear around the lost, Lord. Give us the boldness and the compassion to love them. And to share the greatest news in all the world. That there is a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about Him. Lord, stir us to faithfulness. And we pray this not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Amen. Please take some time right now to examine your life and to reflect upon God's holy word. And in a moment, we will be coming to the Lord's table, and I ask that you would do so rightly. Do not come to the Lord's table flippantly. Examine yourself. And if you're not a believer, if you have not trusted in Christ, the Lord's Supper is not for you. Let it pass by, because there's a warning in Scripture that if you eat or drink of this and you are not saved, you are eating and drinking judgment upon yourself, and judgment of a holy God upon your life is not a good place to be. Meet with the Lord.